Corinthians chapter 1, page 1144. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then over a page or so to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. This is God's word to us this morning. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, you call us to be your holy people. You promise that the gates of hell will not prevail over your church. Would your word help us to glorify you, to proclaim Jesus? Would our faith in him grow? Amen. Please turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Quite often I am asked by people moving to a new area, or if they're going to go on holiday, or if the children, for example, are moving to university in a new place, Doogie, could you recommend a local church in that place? What would be my answer to you if you said to me, Doogie, I'm moving to Corinth. Could you recommend the local church there? Well, what do I know about the local church in Corinth? How would you respond if I said it's full of proud and arrogant people? They like to attach themselves to one of the church leaders and think that their tribe is much better than that tribe over there. Doogie's tribe is much better than Veman's tribe. That's what happened in that local church. It's a local church that thinks the message of the resurrection, the cross and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, is a bit lame and powerless. It's a local church where a man is having an affair with his mother-in-law and no one seems to be that bothered. It's a local church where people seem to want to sue each other and take them to court, and well, that's how you get your way, isn't it? It's a local church where sexually you can do whatever you want and be whoever you want to be with whoever, and so what? It's a local church where people with tender consciences get trampled on. In terms of Sunday worship, if you want to go, well, it's a bit of a mess. Someone over here says, I've got something to say, and someone over here says, no, I've got something to say, and they just shout over each other. It's a local church where lots of people doubt the resurrection of the Lord Jesus happened. They don't think that they themselves are going to be resurrected. And everyone's kind of trying to figure out what happens after they die. Now, how's that for a recommendation for a local church when you go on holiday? You going to go? Who's up for that? Now, if you and I could jump into a time machine and go back to Corinth, we'd probably think there's a lot of things wrong here. It's full of following the pattern of this world rather than the pattern set by the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of a growing distinctiveness from the city that they lived in, it seemed that they were just living like the Lord Jesus had no impact on their lives. They just did what everyone else did. If you and I were the Apostle Paul writing to this local church, you may be tempted to go mental at how they've been acting. But Paul says, I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. And in fact, I'm going to send Timothy to help you. Paul is giving us in chapter 4 one of the big reasons he's writing this letter. He loves them. He cares for them. He thinks of them as his dear and precious children. And love always warns when there's danger. It always acts. It always urges. Now, what was the issue in Corinth? They were losing sight of what it meant to be a local church. To stand for the Lord Jesus in their city, to grow in their likeness to him. They'd given up making Jesus known and growing to know Jesus better. Now, in love, Paul doesn't write them a rule book or give them a manual on how to do church. Again and again, he continually points them to the Lord Jesus, the Lord of the church, and to his life-giving, life-changing message of the cross and resurrection. Why is this in the Bible? Why spend time with this for the next few months? Because the church here at Berry Street, in Bushell Park, in Enfield, in London, is no different really from the church at Corinth. The seeds of all the problems at Corinth are seeds of problems that we're going to face and we do face right now. The seeds of division, of pride, of disorder, of following the ways of the world, those things are never far away. Let me give you an example. In the past few weeks, some of you have said some lovely things about this local church. I love our Sunday gatherings. I love our prayer meetings. I love it when we get together and we hang out and we just have fun and we're learning how to live together as Christians. I love that. Now, some people have said in a really lovely way that when the time comes to leave this local church, they're going to be sad. That's nice. Now, I especially like it when they say something like, I've liked being here better than the other church I used to go to. That's nice as well. It's quite flattering. It makes me feel good about this place. But here's the danger. It makes me think, I'm doing a really good job of being the pastor here. Am I amazing? Am I the best thing since sliced bread? And if I was chocolate, I'd eat myself. But there's the danger. The seeds of arrogance and pride. And I forget that if there is anything, anything good about this local church, it's because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not because of me, because I'm a sinner. Now, in these opening verses of this loving warning to a dearly loved church, Paul writes to them that they would be distinctively about the Lord Jesus. And Paul reminds them and us who we are as a local church, what we are as a local church, what we wait for as a local church, and how we're going to keep going. First of all, who we are as a local church. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. to the church of God in Corinth. Who are we as a local church? We are of God. If we were to go on an open-top bus tour of ancient Corinth, there'd be lots of things that struck you. One would be the amount of other gods that were worshipped. You might have seen some big, impressive temples, but there have been lots of little shrines to other gods as well. Now, as the bus travelled around the city, eventually it would have ended up down the docks. It was a port, and there would have been lots of hustle and bustle down there, lots of weird and wonderful things at the docks. Something else you would have noticed is that these guys loved entertainment. And this might sound strange to us, but what passed as the coolest, best entertainment in Corinth were men who stood up and gave long, flowery speeches. Doesn't that sound weird? Doesn't that sound the dullest thing ever? Yeah, it says the preacher. Anyway, but that's what passed as cool and hip entertainment. And what people did was you attached yourself to one of these guys, and you might have combed your hair the way that they did. You tried to look like them and even sound like them as a kind of groupie type thing. That was the height of coolness. Something else unmissable as well, though, was the amount of sexual stuff that was going on. There was a temple, apparently, that was packed with 1,000 prostitutes. And religious Jewry, you didn't go into that place and sing hymns and pray. You can imagine what you did. But even though that local church was in Corinth, Paul says, you're of God. Yeah, you're in Corinth physically, but you're of God. You belong to Him. It's different. Back in Acts 18, when Paul visited Corinth, he was there for about 18 months. The local Jewish population had largely rejected what he had to say about the Lord Jesus. But the non-Jewish people, there was a good response. And after 18 months, this local church had been planted, and Paul moved on. He deliberately calls them the church of God. There would have been a time that the people in that local church, before they were followers of Jesus, just lived their lives, their morals, their desires, like everyone else in Corinth. But having been rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ, they were now of God. Their lives were no longer defined by the city or their country or their job. They were of God. They belonged to Him. I wonder how we see ourselves. I wonder if that's one way we would define ourselves. I'm of God. Not that I'm Glaswegian, Scottish, or a pastor. I'm of God. Paul then calls them sanctified. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus. That word sanctified is a Bible word. It means set apart. It means that they had turned away from their old life in Corinth and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Their lives were different. They were no longer just living like Tom and Barbara next door. They were of God. And it's not that they had made themselves different. God did it. And then Paul says about them, called to be His holy people. When we or them or anyone puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're called to live holy lives. Lives lived in line with what God now says is good. What was the problem in Corinth? Well, I think it's that they were in Corinth and still of Corinth. They were still just living like everyone else was. Instead of being distinct by the grace of God, the church more and more just looked like the city that it was in. And what else were they? Together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. To call on someone's name is to rely on them for help. The name of the Lord Jesus is all that He's revealed Himself to be in the gospel. And Christians, us, them, whoever throughout time, are those who call on the name of the Lord. How do I become a Christian? I've got to call on the name of Jesus. and ask for the forgiveness of my sins? What is to be my ongoing position and ours as a church? To be those who call on his name. We pray. One of my friends puts it like this: Christians are to be called callers. We're called by God to call on his name. When I don't pray, when as a church we don't pray, what are we saying? We don't need Jesus. We can do this ourselves. Now I wonder if Paul starts this way: of God, sanctified, holy people who are to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if so many of the problems that he starts to outline through these chapters is because they'd stop doing those things, stop being those things. I wonder if so much of what had gone on, and I've got nothing to back this up, is because they'd stop praying together. You see, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus will unite us, brings us together. It humbles us. As we pray together, we're saying, I can't do this on my own, and we can't do this on our own. We need the help of one another and the Lord Jesus Christ. Calling on the name of the Lord Jesus purifies us because it brings sin into focus and our need of his forgiveness again. It encourages us to love each other selflessly. Praying so often brings our lives into line with God's ordering. Now, I know I say often that the prayer meeting is important, but I so often wonder if this church in Corinth had got into such a mess because they'd stopped praying together. The prayer meeting shows a group of men and women who are dependent on Jesus. We need your help, Lord. We can't do this on our own. So who are we? The church of God, sanctified, set apart for holy living, who call together on Jesus. When we forget those things, it seems like in Corinth, bad stuff starts to happen. What are we as a local church? Paul goes on to say, we're grace enriched and testimony confirming. Let me explain what I mean. Verse 4. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Had I been the Apostle Paul, knowing what they'd been up to, I wonder how I might have been tempted to start the letter. But how does he start? I always thank my God for you. They might have been a mess. They might not have been what they ought to have been. But he thanks God because of his grace given them in Christ Jesus. And that grace had been so generous, it had changed even how they spoke and how they thought. See, it says that enriched in every way in verse 5, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. Do you know two of the biggest areas that mark out that the gospel is at work in our lives? What's going on in here and what comes out of here? The Bible says so often that we sin most with what's going on here and what comes out here. And Paul says that those areas, well, those had changed in the lives of the Corinthians. And the fact that those had changed was evidence of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. And actually, he says, that confirms that the message I shared with you is true. I wonder if anyone's ever said to you, what's the evidence you have for Jesus? And quite often people say, and this isn't wrong, that they go to the Gospels and it's historically accurate and there's eyewitness testimony and there's evidence of that. Paul would say, here's evidence that the message about the Lord Jesus dying and rising and coming again is true. Go look at your local church. Isn't that amazing? You and I, if we put our faith in the Lord Jesus, we are evidence that Paul's message is true. The fact that there are believers today in the Lord Jesus Christ who have said, yep, Jesus died for my sins and rose again, is proof that the Lord Jesus is at work, that he's alive. And a local church like this, however messy, however at times we get things wrong, it's evidence of the grace of Jesus Christ. If you're not yet a Christian this morning, you don't consider yourself a Christian, I'm going to ask you to look around. Yeah, be rude. That's all right. Look around at people, especially the Christians in the room that you know. They're just ordinary people who have put their trust in Jesus. But the Lord Jesus has put them here this morning so that you would look at them. And so that they would remind you that Jesus died for their sins and rose again from the dead. He's alive and one day he's coming back. And he wants you to put your trust in him. If you are a Christian, you're evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. That he's at work in our world. That we carry his name. That one of our responsibilities are to be his ambassadors. So we want to let him shape what's going on in here and what comes out here. And part of our big purpose as a local church is to carry that true message of the Lord Jesus, that people need to have their sins forgiven, or what awaits is punishment from God in hell. And there's a way to be free from that. Such an important responsibility we have in this area. And we're to call men and women, boys and girls, from all backgrounds and all kinds of places to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. What is a local church? We're grace-enriched. We're testimony-confirming. What are we waiting for? Much more briefly, the revealing of the Lord Jesus. Verse 7, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for a Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. You know, in a local church like this one, it's not very big. It's easy to think of all the things that we don't have. Wouldn't it be good if we had this? Wouldn't it be good if we had that? Wouldn't it be good if we had some drums? That'd be good. Wouldn't it be good if we had an assistant pastor and a women's worker and they could do all the work and I could read the paper? Wouldn't that be good? Sometimes I think like that. Yeah. As a grace-enriched, testimony-confirming local church, we're waiting on the Lord Jesus to appear. We are. What does Paul say that we lack? Do we lack any spiritual gift as we eagerly wait for the return of Jesus? Do we? No. We've got the spiritual gifts that we need in this local church for whatever we face right now. And when the time comes that we don't have the spiritual gift that we need for whatever we face, then guess who's going to provide it? Sunday school answer? Jesus. Yeah. Now, spiritual gifts are gifts that the Lord Jesus gives to his church that help serve and build up a local church. There can be all sorts of things. A pastor, teacher, those are gifts. I'm a gift to the church. No, that's pride. Okay, that's pride. Elders are gifts to the church. People who are great at sharing their faith with others, it's a gift to the church. People who encourage one another, and that happens in lots of ways. People that write little notes, that's a gift to the church. People who love to sing, or who are good with money, who are servant-hearted, who love to welcome others, who are brilliant at catering, and all sorts of other things besides. The Lord Jesus has given to this local church what we need for what we face. It's not wrong to pray for those other things. It really isn't. But we've got to trust that as we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus, he'll give us what we need. And let's trust that. Last thing, how we keep going as a local church. Paul says in verse 8, he will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. He doesn't say, pull your socks up. Come on, try a bit better. He says, God is faithful. He'll keep us to the end. Did you notice in these verses, verse 8 and 9, how Jesus is referred to? What title is used of Jesus? Anyone? Begins with a L, an L. Yes, excellent, Lord. It's used a couple of times in verse 1 and 2 as well, and 3. That's the title Paul uses most often of Jesus in this book. The name Jesus is used 26 times. Christ is used 64 times. Lord is used 66 times. Jesus is the Lord of the church. The Lord of this local church. The one who has called Christians into the church of God will keep us to the end. Jesus, the Lord of this local church, will keep us distinctive and help us to have an impact in this area as we submit to his ways and follow him. Jesus, the Lord of this church, is faithful. Look at verse 1 just for a moment. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. You know, we don't know much about this guy called Sosthenes. But there is a man of that name mentioned in Acts 18 when Paul visits Corinth. If it's the same guy, we don't know if it's the same guy. But when Paul went to Corinth and preached the good news in the synagogue, the man who led the synagogue there was a guy called Crispus. He didn't like Paul's message at first. But do you know what happened to him? He became a Christian. Do you know who they appointed as the synagogue leader next? A man called Sosthenes. Now, as I said, we're not told it's the same guy. But would it surprise anyone if it was? Not me. Why? Because as a local church remembers that it's of God. Sanctified, holy, who pray together as they remember that they are grace enriched and testimony confirming, and they realize that part of that is holding out the message, the word of truth to others, speaking about the Lord Jesus. What is one of the reactions going to be? Yeah, for some rejection, but for others, they'll be called into the church of God. They'll be sanctified by Jesus. They'll be called to live holy lives. And will come together and pray with us. And the Lord Jesus will equip them, and they'll call others to come and follow Jesus themselves. I hope this morning has been encouraging in some way to remember as a local church who we are, what we are, what we're waiting for, and who's going to keep us to the end. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that there is a church of God in this place. There are a group of people who have been sanctified in the Lord Jesus. That you've called us to be your holy people. And now we're calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, please, as we live together, would the things that were tearing apart that church in Corinth not tear us apart? We pray for our unity. Help us not to be proud and arrogant. Help us to live holy lives, sticking close to the Lord Jesus so that we would be found blameless on the day we see him. Thank you for your faithfulness. When so often we are unfaithful, we pray that we would know more and more of fellowship with Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.